enjoyed that well sung and a pretty song and a great message. Thank you very much. As I said this morning, I want to be a blessing tonight. In 16 years of leading this church, preaching from this pulpit, I don't know of a time in the last, 5 to 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, maybe 10 weeks, when I've seen more different people in the church going through more adversity, different types of adversity. Some I couldn't even talk about from the pulpit. Others we're well aware of, much of the physical adversity that has come to many people in our membership. And I want to be a blessing tonight to those people in particular, but to everybody as well, because the day of adversity is going to come to everybody. It will come to you. It will come to me. It may not be right now that we're facing it, but we will. And I learned a little something about 10 days ago, 12 days ago. Boy, I shared it with our staff devotions, and I thought, you know, I need to just do this in the whole church. And maybe it'll be an encouragement, especially to you folks that are facing the adversity right now. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the image maker. The image maker. You see there, he says we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. I want to talk about the image maker for a little bit in the service this evening. Dear Father, thank you for your book. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Bless it to us. May it be to our souls tonight what the meal we had at dinner time was to our bodies. Lord, we had some good food at dinner, and I enjoyed it. And it gave me nourishment and strength. Now I need something from your book that's going to give me soul strength. And Lord, put the joy of God in my heart. And Lord, maybe it could put the joy of the Lord in somebody's heart, even in the adverse times in life. So God, help us this evening. Now thank you for the privilege to speak once again. And bless this time in Christ's name. And amen. Paul was writing to the Corinthian people comparing the Jews of the Old Testament to the Christians of the New Testament. The Jews had the Old Testament scriptures, but they were blinded to the person of Jesus Christ. They would read the Old Testament, the Torah, the Psalms, the prophets. They would read it, and yet they would never see that the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, many of those verses were talking about Jesus Christ. The Bible says that they had a veil over their heart. Remember the veil Moses put over his face when he came off that mountain? His face shone so brightly that he couldn't even speak to him without putting a veil over his face so they could look at him. And Paul said in this chapter, he said the Old Testament Jews, they don't have a veil over their face. They have a veil over their heart. Their heart hasn't been opened to Jesus. They read and read and read. Brother Vineyard was talking about this last time I was with him, and how that it's amazing. He'll get in discussions with those rabbis when he's over in Israel, and they'll talk about passages of Scripture in the Old Testament. And he'll say, fellas, can't you see that that is talking about Jesus Christ? He is the Messiah. And you know, Brian Sharp got to lead one of their guides, one of their Hebrew guides to Christ. Brother Ithamar is a saved man, calls down to Oklahoma City all the time and asking them to witness and pray for his wife that she could get saved. He was the one who guided them to the different places in Israel, took them to the empty tomb, the garden tomb. And at the garden tomb, Brian Sharp led that Jewish man to Jesus Christ, embraced him as his Savior. The Old Testament Jews, they read it, and even the Jews today, they read it and they can't see Christ. The veil is over their heart. Now, Paul compares that to the New Testament Christian. In verse number 18, he says, but we all, with open face. We don't have a veil over our face. Those of us that have been saved, we don't have a veil over our face. We all with open face. Look at what he says here. Beholding as in a glass. In Bible times, in the Old Testament times, they took metal. They took brass, silver, and they beat it out. And beat it out and beat it out real thin sheets of brass or metal, and polished it up, shined it up real good. And then you could see your reflection, and that's how they had mirrors in those days. They weren't so much made out of glass as they were brightly polished metal, beat very thinly. And they could see their reflection when they looked in it. And he refers to that. That's what he's referring to here. Beholding as in a glass or a mirror. But now the mirror he's talking about here is the Bible. He's talking about the Word of God there. Beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord. You see, the person of Jesus Christ is evidenced all through this book. And as we look into this glass, as we look into this mirror, We see the person of Jesus Christ. We see Him. We read of Him. We know who He is. We know who it's talking about. It's like looking in a mirror, only we don't see our own reflection. It's like looking in a mirror and seeing the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the truth of the matter is, the child of God who spends quality time beholding Jesus in this book will be changed into that same image, little by little, by the power of the Spirit of God that's within us. That's what this verse is telling us here. And you say, in Matthew, He's the King, and in King of the Jews, and in Mark, He's the suffering servant, and in Luke, He's the Son of Man, and in John, He's the Son of God. In Acts, He's the power of the church. And you can go all the way through the New Testament books till you get to Revelation, where He is the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we look in this mirror, we don't see ourselves. We look in this mirror and we behold Jesus. And as we behold Jesus in this mirror, if we'll meditate on these things and have an open heart, an open face, and say, God, change me, the Spirit of God will change us little by little from glory to glory. That's what He says here. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's what He's talking. The change is little. Little by little from glory to glory. But it does happen until a new image is stamped in place on us and in us. On us. Now that's God's will. That the image of Christ be stamped on us and in us. As we behold in this glass the glory of the Lord. That's who the Bible is about. It's about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. And as we behold Him in this glass and look into it, the Spirit of God changes us little by little until His image is stamped on us and in us. And that is the will of God for every child of God. Now, you know, Pam's not been in the office because of her back, and she's back again tonight. So glad to see her here. I was just shocked to see her this morning. It caught me by surprise. It was a blessing. And we've all been trying to pitch in. It's amazing how much one person does that's absolutely behind the scenes and never seen. I mean, just never seen. You never see it. But, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And people have been pitching in and helping. Cindy Kelsey has been a blessing. And Sarah McGraw's help from the school office. And Brother Jason's been a blessing. And Brother Caleb. So here's what can I do to try to make the work of the office go a little bit smoother without her here? And we were behind on CDs and tapes. So I thought, well, I can do that. I can load up tapes and I can load up CDs and I can push buttons and I can make copies and so forth and so on. And my wife made some labels. And that was that's what I did. So a couple of days I came over, one night during the shower for somebody. I had a shower here recently. Who was it? Sarah Ferry. Yes, that's right. For Sarah's shower. I was down in the office here working while Luke and Leah were in Dwight, and Cherith was here. So I was down here. And working in this office here and making, and we have a CD printer. Now, we have a CD duplicator too. And you put the CD in the top drawer and one in each of the bottom drawers, and it duplicates two CDs in just a matter of seconds. It's a nice CD duplicator. You can get those instead of cassette tapes. Pretty soon cassettes will be what 8-tracks are now. They'll be dinosaurs and gone. And, so we have a CD duplicator, but we also have a CD printer. And by the way, I mentioned this the other day. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 4 that Solomon spoke of wisdom in things that he learned from trees and beasts and birds and creeping things. He spoke parables. He spoke maxims of wisdom from things that God had created. And you know, the truth of the matter is, friend, there's a lot of God to be learned. If you just keep your eyes open and look. You guys that work construction, think of all that you can learn of God just by being on a construction job. All the things from that. It's incredible how much you can learn of God from things like trees and birds and creeping things and fowls and fishes. He wrote that 1 Kings chapter 4. And I learned something as I was watching that CD printer. I was thinking about some of you folks sitting in this room tonight. And I was thinking about some of the folks not in this room tonight. Now some of you folks that have since been added to our prayer list and since been added to people who are on my mind and my heart because you're facing some adverse circumstance. I learned a little bit about this thing, the image maker from the printer, the CD printer. And this is how our CDs look at the beginning. They're just plain white on that side. By the way, aren't you glad that when we get saved, all of us are washed white in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Isn't it good to know that no matter what age and no matter how deep into the pit of sin you went, when you got saved, you came out looking like that right there. Amen. Washed white as snow. That's Bible. That's Isaiah 1:18. Amen. You should be as wool, as white as snow. So we all start out like this. That's what we start, and that's how the CDs start out in the office like that. Just a plain white, if you will, white CD. But this is not how God intends for us to finish the race. This is not how He intends for us to finish up. I have here tonight with me, and those sitting maybe further back may not be able to see, but I have here tonight several examples of CDs that have been have an image made on them. And this CD was like this, and now it looks like this. Okay? That's a big difference, isn't it, from how it started out. And then you got some that are just kind of simple and plain. We'll have time to take all these out, I guess, but here's one that's like this. But it's still different from the white CD. Okay? It's got just a blue pattern to it there, but different from this white CD. Here's one. It's got some different shades of green on it. Most of these are from missionaries. This is the Europe, the Spotlight Europe CD or DVD from BIMI about their work over in Europe, passing out Bibles and so forth. And there's a three-colored image on that CD right there. Here's a very plain one. Just got some words on it and a picture of a kangaroo. Guess where that's from? Australia. Amen. All right. Rocket science, right? And so there it is. Just very simple, but yet different than that. It looks different than this. And here's one of the more colorful ones from Ricky Martin Jr. over in the Philippines working for his dad. Got the Filipino flag on there. And that's a different image. And then some are even fancier. They have the picture of the missionary. Here's Brother Barry Hoffman and his family over in South Korea. And they got the harvest field there and trees. There's a lot of color on that CD label. Maybe you can't see it. But that's a far cry from this. That's how this CD looks. Here's Bob Murillo, all of his family on here, and all the little kids and his wife, Joy, and their pictures on there. Again, very colorful. Here's another one here, the Shelby family. This man stopped by. He's been a veteran missionary in Kenya, and he left me this. And here's the continent of Africa and his name and a spotlight and a picture of his family and very, very detailed CD cover there. But all of these are far cries from that, all of them. They started out white like that, but they ended up after they went through the CD printer. And, of course, I don't have the sharpest one up here tonight, the one that has the picture of our church on it. Amen. And on my face even. Amen. And I'll tell you what, and they're not selling. Nobody's buying them. Amen. So, but anyway, here's what we got. See? Big difference. That's how it started out. That's how it ended up after it went through the CD printer. Some are plain. Some are fancy, some are colorful, some are simple, but they all bear some kind of image. Now, folks, listen, God has a design for every person's life in this room. I don't care how long you've been saved, what your situation is, who you are, what kind of home you're reared in, from this side of the auditorium to this, from front to back, every child of God in this room, God has a design for your life. He has a design for you, some that are colorful and some that are plain, some that are simple, others may be more fancy, but He has an image that He wants you to bear. And aren't you glad that we don't all become clones and robots? Same personality, same temperament, all that stuff. That'd be a very boring world, wouldn't it? God never designed it that way. He made it so that all of us, with our own unique personalities and how we are and how we were reared, but He wants the image of Christ stamped on us, on Terry Angel and Caleb Hansen, Don Reardon, Jason Minkowski, all the folks sitting out on the side of my voice tonight. He wants the image of Christ stamped on all of us. He started out looking like this, washes us clean, and He wants a nice, beautiful image of Christ stamped on each one of us. Now, I was watching that CD print. I was standing there watching it, you know, and into the machine. And because I was learning how to use it there at the beginning. Boy, once you learn how to use it, you get to a rhythm with that thing, you know. And I had the CD duplicator going. I had the tape duplicator going. I had the CD printer going. I had the computer going. The office was smoking. The fire alarms were going off. Amen. I mean, it was great, man. I was everywhere. And it was tremendous. But at the beginning, I had to watch that thing. And so I was watching that CD printer. And I learned something. There's a print tray. There's a print tray. And it's got all the cartridges in it. You got printers at home. Got the cartridges in the printers. And that printer, you know, the CD goes, the disc goes in there, and that printer, that print tray comes over and calibrates itself and moves back and forth, you know. And then I got to watching that thing, and right before it started to print, it would drop about an eighth of an inch, just drop, or maybe a quarter of an inch, just drop straight down, and then immediately began to print on that plain white CD. You see, pressure had to be put on that CD for it to bear an image. Pressure. That cartridge had to be lowered and had to be right down on top of it. And as it goes across that thing, it had to put some pressure on that thing. And the truth of the matter is, friend, it requires pressure to change us from this to this. It requires pressure. No way around it. Pressure is what shapes the image of Christ upon us. Pressure is what forms that image upon us. It takes pressure for God to change us into the image of Christ. Now, we don't like pressure. Nobody likes it. Nobody volunteers for it. Nobody signs up for pressure. But the truth of the matter is, it takes pressure for God to imprint the image of Christ on our life. We like everything running smoothly. We like no interruptions to our comfort zone. And each of us have a comfort zone. Everybody in this room has a comfort zone. Stay-at-home moms have a comfort zone. Every man has a comfort zone at work. Everybody does. Students have comfort zones. Sure they do. And we don't like any interruptions to our comfort zone. We don't want anything to take us out of that comfort zone. We like good health and we like plenty of money in our pocket and in the bank. We like job security. We like investments that are doing well. We like our vehicles in tip-top shape. We like the water out of our basement and the water coming in from not coming in our roof. We don't like any pressure. We don't volunteer for pressure. That's how we enjoy life. No pressure. But that doesn't help us take on the image of Jesus Christ. It requires pressure. It requires pressure for the image of Jesus to be placed upon us. I remind you tonight about the parable of the potter and the potter's house and the clay in Jeremiah 18. And if you've ever seen the potter work, remember as a little boy going to Gatlinburg before it was so commercialized, Dad and Mom took us up there, three boys in a Volkswagen Beetle. We went to Gatlinburg. And Tom was the youngest brother, and he had to ride in the rumble seat all the way up there and all the way back because he was the only one that knew him. Rumble seat. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There you go, the rumble seat. He had to ride in the rumble seat all the way back, all the whole trip. He's the only one that could fit in there. And before it was so commercialized, it was just one street, had a few shops on it, and they used to have a potter's wheel. And they'd go in there and they'd have some clay and they'd put some clay on the wheel and the potter would move the trendle there, the trestle, and move the little spindle. That's what I'm looking for, the spindle, and the wheel would turn and he would take his hands and had a bucket of water and he threw some water on there on that clay and it began, the faster he moved his feet, the faster it would spin and he put the pressure on that clay. And as he put the pressure on that clay, it turned into a vessel. Without the pressure from the potter's fingers, it would have been a lump of clay. A dizzy one at that. Amen. Going round and round and round and round and round and round and round. But because of the potter put pressure on it, the thing began to take shape. And you know what he had sitting over on the side of the little house there? He had vessels of all shapes, vessels of all sizes, vessels for all kinds of uses. Some were for flowers, and some were for water, and some were for decoration. They were all shapes and sizes. They all came out of that great big old lump of clay behind him. And after a little time on the wheel, and the pressure of his fingers. The pressure. It took pressure to shape that thing. And as the pressure was applied, that vessel began to take shape. That clay turned into something useful. That plain person begins to bear the image of Christ. Everybody wants to be like this, but we don't want to have the pressure that it takes to make us like this. But that's what it takes. It takes pressure. No one likes health problems. Nobody does. And the older you get, the more aware you become of health problems. Sure you do. And since Pam had her trouble, I've been exercising every day on my back. I don't want to have back problems someday, you know. And that's the honest truth. Nobody wants health problems. And the older you get, you become more mindful of it. And then when you're in your 30s, and you haven't been feeling good, and you go to the doctor, and boom, boy, he lays that thing on you, blows you out of the water. Nobody likes that. That's pressure. Nobody likes financial pressure. Nobody likes financial setbacks. Nobody enjoys it. Nobody volunteers and signs up. I'll take a setback. Sure, bring one on. Nobody does that. No, we don't like that. We don't want that. No one likes disappointment. Nobody enjoys disappointment. Disappointments hurt. Disappointments cause us grief. They keep us awake at night. They cause you to flip-flop on your bed like a door on a hinge. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Disappointments in life. And nobody enjoys that. Nobody volunteers for disappointment. No one likes instability at work. Nobody likes pressure. Nobody wants it. But it's pressure. It is those type things. It's health problems. It's financial setbacks. It's disappointments. It's instability at work. It's the car breaking down. It's a sick child. It's something wrong with the house. It's added pressure at work. It's those things that God uses to put His hands on us, to shape us and to mold us. And He puts the pressure on us. And as He does, if we'll go along with God's plan and be right, we can be changed from image to image. Bear the image of Christ. They're designed to help us in some way bear the image of Christ. Ron Hamilton, I wish I knew his story better. Tom, you know, how old was Ron approximately when he went in for surgery? Was he a boy? Close to 25. He had cancer in his eye. A spot in his eye. And he thought they were going to go in and just remove it and be done. And when he came out of surgery, he lost his eye. I think to go into surgery thinking that you're going to come out with that little spot removed and see 20/20 again and no problems, and instead come out of surgery with only one eye. Nobody likes that. But you know what that was in Ron Hamilton's life? That was the pressure that the potter was putting on that clay to mold him and shape him into an image and a vessel that God could use. And God does the same thing to His people today. He molds us, but the pressure, the punchy and the squeezing that nobody enjoys, but it takes pressure. I noticed that that print trade dropped down and it took pressure on that label. It took pressure on that CD right there. See, that's not a peel-off label. This is not a peel-off label. This is not something you peel off. That is printed on there. It bears that image now. And that's what God's doing when pressure comes into your life. It's not that God's against you. It's not that God hates you. You know what? God may be trying to refine something out. And that's okay. Because that's for our good. It may be some attitude. It may be some fear. It may not have anything to do with something that needs to come out. It may be that God just knows that I need a little extra pressure to get to a better image for Jesus Christ. It may just, He knows that. He knows all. He's faithful. He's good. He's not a wicked God. He's a good God. And when He touches us in pressure, He's still good. Are you listening tonight? I'm talking about bearing the image of Christ. I'm talking about as you get in the Bible and you read and, boy, your heart burns and you say, Lord, please help me. You want help? Okay, now I can help you. I can help you, Christian. I can help you, child, God says. And I can make you into the image of Christ, but it's not going to happen with a nice little paintbrush. It's going to take some squeezing. There's some squeezing. Well, I look back at some of the pressure that my wife and I were under in the early years of our marriage. I mean pressure. Now, we were never close to divorce. We never threatened each other going home to mom and all that stuff and separated and all that stuff. But we had our share of pressure. We had our share of tough times. Kids come along. It's pressure. And the pressures of work and family and all. But friend, look, it's all at His hand. It's all from Him. It's all for our good. No matter how difficult it may be, the pressure, the squeezing. I noticed that there had to be some pressure placed on that CD right there. And sometimes the devil's very good at making families think, boy, you're the only ones going through this. You're the only couple having any problem in that whole church. Let me say it again what I said last week. Not a week goes by here without some married couple in this church having some kind of difficulty. Not one week goes by. So if you're in the middle of that right now, it's okay. It's okay. It's a part of life. It's not Prince Charming meets Snow White. They have a kiss and everybody lives happily ever after. That's fairy tale stuff. That's not living. It's not life. There's pressure. Okay? And there's and so forth. So, now, but I noticed something else about this. I noticed that in our particular CD printer, this is what it comes with. It comes with a little plastic tray. The little lid drops down. The lid comes up. And then there's the print tray in there. And it comes with a little plastic tray like this. And you put the CD on there, just like this. Fits right there in that little thing right there. It snaps in place. And then you slide it underneath there. And then when the print tray is calibrating, getting in place, then all of a sudden the rollers begin to move. And probably it's designed for those rollers to pull that thing in all by itself. But in our case, I had every time the rollers started rolling, I had to just give the CD tray a little bitty push. Had to give it a little bitty shove every time. Lined it up with the arrows, just like it's supposed to be right here. Print tray comes across. Like it does. Drops down, puts the pressure on. Rollers start spinning. And I just gave it a little bit of a shove to get the image making process started. And I stood there that night and shoved that little tray in to start the process. And then my mind went back to how many times I have been pushed into something. Shoved into something that maybe I didn't really want to get into, but it was good for me. A little bit of a push or a shove. A little bit of a push or a shove into it. And I feared it, and I didn't want to get involved in it, and I didn't want that, and yet God used it. And sometimes, friend, we need a little push by someone else to get us started in the process of changing our image. And God has something for us, and are we a little hesitant sometimes to jump in and to get involved, and we feel like we can't do it, and it takes a little push or a little shove to get us started. If it's teaching a class or helping in a class, or if it's taking a step in Christian growth. I was so blessed. I've just been so blessed lately to see some newer people steps in Christian growth. And you know, sometimes you don't want to take those. Sometimes those steps aren't very tasteful. Sometimes it's like, man, I don't want to do that. But because you got somebody behind you who loves you a little bit and who cares about you and gives you a little bit of a shove or a little bit of a push, and pretty soon you're brought into the image making process, and the pressure comes, and here the image of Christ begins to be stamped upon your life. Thank God for the people who held my feet to the fire. Thank God for the people who held me accountable. Thank God for the people who told me I should be in church and I shouldn't miss, and where were you and what are you doing? Thank God for the people who told me to be in the Bible and preach to me about getting out of the Bible. Thank God for the people who gave me a little shove every time in my Christian life when I needed it. Sometimes all of us do. We all need a little bit of a shove. We can get complacent. All of us can get complacent. We can get apathetic. And by the way, the church in the latter day is headed toward that end. You got to read 2 Timothy. Read Titus. Read some of the latter epistles in your New Testament. In the Laodicean age, the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about the Mormons. I'm talking about saved people. Mormons aren't saved. They're headed into some apathetic times and complacent times. And friend, the best friend you've got is the one who holds your feet to the fire and keeps on you and makes you accountable and preaches to you or teaches you Sunday school or in a conversation on the phone says, man, what's happening? What's wrong? You've lost your zeal. Just a little, we need a little shove to get back under the image making process sometimes. A little shove. Just a little bit of a push. And brothers, those people are your friends. Because in the pressure, in the responsibility, in the structure, in the schedule, I can get the image of Christ born upon my life. And I thank God for the people who said, hey, would you help here? Get involved here. I love leading the choir. Sometimes it gets a little bit wearisome to me. And I think sometimes with my voice and all, maybe I should just sit back in the office and get ready for preaching time. But I love the choir. I love to sing. I don't know music, but I love to sing. And I know songs that make for a good church service. I just God's given me that help. And my wife's been a blessing to me and the good instrumentalists we have over here. And I love this choir. We got a good choir. I enjoy our choir. And some of you tell me, I listen to the choir on the internet. Amen. Listen to the choir on the internet. And it's on there. And they're singing. It's a blessing. But I remember when Brother Brown asked me he said, I want you to take the choir. Boy, I didn't want to do that. I did not want to do that. That's the last thing I wanted to do. I really am ashamed of myself because I really wasn't a good staff member at that point in time. I kind of resisted a little bit. But it was simply because I felt so unqualified. I didn't know an A from a B. Still don't. A C from a D. I know a little bit about timing. I know a little bit about measures. I know a little bit about that. But if you handed me a piece of music that I don't know, haven't heard, and said, sing it, I can't read that stuff. No. I know all cows eat green grass or something like that. I don't even know if I got that right. No, I didn't. Okay, well, whatever. All cows eat brown grass, I guess. That's not right either, all right? It's one of those things, it's a scale. You're supposed to be able to say that. Yeah. I resisted because of my lack of knowledge. Brother Brown, he said, well, you're going to do it. And he shoved me into it. And now today, I won't give it up. I enjoy it. I like it. I believe it's something that God had for me to do. And sometimes, friend, you just need a little shove. Amen? Don't get tired of that, Christian. Don't get tired of that. You know, it's a preacher's responsibility to hold folks' feet to the fire. Did you know that? It is. It's part of our job, part of our responsibility, part of what God's called us to do. Make people accountable. So listen, don't resist that. God uses folks in your life to push you into the pressure sometimes a little bit because He wants you to bear the image of Christ. Let me say, it's hard to bear the image of Christ if you're not trying to be a witness for Him. It's hard to. Hard to. So don't get upset at that. Oh, they asked me to help us. Hey, living for others, serving others, passing on what you know to others, that's part of bearing the image of Christ. You say it's responsibility and it's effort. I know it is. I know it's pressure. It's just one thing more to your busy week already. I understand that. But it's what part of what makes us bear the image of Jesus Christ. It's that little shove. Something else I noticed. I walked away from the CD printer to answer the phone or something, got my mind on something else. And when I came back, the thing, that the red light was or whatever it was, it had aborted and it was kicked out. And it said maintenance. That's what it was. The maintenance light was flashing. And I looked on that CD right there. And I mean, the image was all marred and distorted. And the colors were all jumbled and you couldn't read the words. And I thought, what in the world happened? And what happened was during the printing process, that CD right there popped out of place. Just got a little bit out of place. Just a little bit. And it caused the whole thing to be distorted. And I thought, boy, what a lesson. When the pressure starts, when the heat gets on, stay in your place. Stay in your place. Don't pop out. Then that CD popped out of that little hole right there, just like that. And just enough that when that pressure, when that cartridge went across that like that, it just kind of shook it a little bit. And the whole, I had thrown it away. Ruined. That this is our tendency. Our tendency is when the pressure starts to jump ship. But don't jump ship, friend. Stay in the place. When the pressure mounts, we want to run. We want to do something to get away from it all. Huh? Don't run from the pressure. Stay on track while the pressure's on. You see, look, every CD that stayed in place successfully took the image that was printed upon it. And every CD, the only CD that didn't successfully take the image was the one that popped out of place. Got off track. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Adversity comes into your life and the devil shows up right on the heels of you getting started into adversity and says, well, you don't want to go to church this Sunday. Be too embarrassing. Now you probably shouldn't teach your Sunday school class anymore. You probably shouldn't work that bus route. And what's he trying to do, folks? He's trying to get us off track. Trying to get us out of place. If we just stay in place, if we'll just stay where we ought to be, stay right there, we'll never gain anything by running. Never. And when the ship starts rocking, stay in the boat until, like the song says, the storm passes by. Amen. And it will pass. It will pass. It'll get done. Okay, it may take a few months. It may take some years. But just stay on track. Stay on track. Don't get out of place. Something else, and I'll say this. One thing for sure. This image right here. This image right here is a whole lot more attractive to people than this image. If you're going to buy a CD just on the face of how it looks, which one are you going to pick up? I'll take the plain one. No, you don't do that. This is a lot more attractive to people than this. You say, what's your point, Pastor? My point is that God wants to make us like this. Not to make us appealing. To make the gospel appealing. And you know what this is called right here? This is what Paul called adorning the gospel of God. Making the gospel pretty. Making it pretty. Now this is how you are when you get saved. But God wants your life to adorn the gospel of God. He wants your life and my life to be appealing to lost people who look at our lives and say, man, oh man, you know what? There's something different about that man. There's something different about that lady. But we don't get the glory for it. God ends up getting the glory. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And when you get under the pressure, when you get under the pressure and the image maker is trying to put the image of Christ on your life, friend, don't fight that. He's trying to make you very, very attractive to maybe somebody you work with. It may be a relative. Did you ever think about the fact that you have lost relatives who may get saved by watching you go through a difficult time and staying on track and handling it and getting through it and coming out on the other side bearing a beautiful image of Jesus Christ, and all your witnessing and all your preaching can't do what you just staying faithful in the adverse time can do. Amen. Makes you pretty to them. They say, well, you know what? You do have something I don't have. I'm talking about this. People will be far more interested in how we navigate the tempestuous seas than they will be how we get through the placid waters. I said that before. I'll say it again. Let me ask you a question. What do you think Ron Hamilton would have done with his life as Ron Hamilton? Maybe been a good Christian, been a good music man in the church somewhere, one church, one choir director, one special music man in one church in the United States of America. Ron Hamilton would have been a great Ron Hamilton, no doubt about it. But let me ask you a question. How's Ron Hamilton as Patch the Pirate? How is Ron Hamilton as Patch the Pirate? How many people has he influenced? Thousands. That's tens of thousands. Huh? As a fella decked out in an old pirate hat, a patch over his eye that he lost as a 25-year-old young man. But it's what God used. God took Ron Hamilton, and God has taken other men and other women. Cleaned them up, saved them, put them in the tray. And as they read that book right there, he said, Lord, help me, please. God put him under the print, the image maker. He stayed in place at age 25. He didn't bolt and run on God. He didn't get ugly. He didn't get mad. And when it was all said and done, he came out of the tray, Patch the Pirate. And how many of us have his tapes in our homes? How many of us have his tapes in our cars? How many of us, our kids can sing his songs frontward and backward? They do the plays here at the school. Not just in America, but around the world. Through missionaries, Ron Hamilton, as Patch the Pirate, has been used to exalt Jesus Christ. Now, it may not be that God has a Patch the Pirate for you. But I'll tell you what he does have in mind, folks. Our good God. And I'll repeat that. Our good God. And I'll repeat that. Our good God has an image. He wants to stamp it on your life. Don't resist it. And don't fight it. And don't get off track. Stay in your place. Let God take you through the process. When you come out, who knows how many people you'll point to Him. Amen. It's called the image maker. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Thank you for listening. Dear Lord, thank you for the testimonies we heard tonight from the different people about the mothers. It's a blessing to me, especially from some of the newer people, to hear about their moms. And then, Lord, to be reminded again about the moms of some of the folks that have been around here for a while. Thank you for God. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for changing us into His image. May we, Lord, be patient while the image maker works on us, transforms us into a picture of Jesus Christ. Lord, I do pray for people as I have already. How many times these past 8-10 weeks, God help so-and-so, God bless brother so-and-so, God bless that sister. God help her, God help him, God help that family. Or how many times? Dozens and dozens and dozens of times. All through the day, God help them. Lord, you know the main prayer is, don't let them get off track. God help them not to jump ship. Help them not to get out of the tray. Help them stay in their place. Jesus, while you imprint your image upon them, I pray that they'll trust you. And you're a good God. You don't do things ugly. You are a good God. May we never forget that. Help them to bear up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Help them to wait upon you. Lord, as other people enter into times of adversity, I pray that this message might be called to memory. There might be somebody here tonight, dear Lord, I'm not even aware of. I don't even know about right now. Adverse circumstances in their life, and God, the pressure's on. The potter's squeezing the clay. The vessel's taking shape. God, help us, I pray. Thank you for your love. Bless these dear people. Bless all these folks. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody here tonight say, Pastor Angel, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here tonight? I'm not saved. Pray for me. All right. If you've been saved but not baptized, you need to take that first step. But friend, I wonder tonight if you're on the tray right now. If you're in the process of the image maker. Putting His image on you. Boy, the key thing is stay in that tray. Stay on that wheel. Stay there. Stay in your place. Don't fight when people try to push you into situations that are designed to grow you. Don't fight with God. Just give in. Let God do with you what He will. Ask God to do something wonderful. Help you to bear the image of Jesus through whatever you're going through. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, we'll play us a song of invitation tonight. As you come, let the Spirit of God move your heart. Come, image maker, image maker. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight? God bless you. Would you come? It's called the image maker.